Hello, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio and to The Sum of Us. My name is Alisa.
My name is Liz. Hello.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm feeling a lot better.
You sound so much better.
I sound like I just woke up because I just did.
Rise and shine. Ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling.
Oh, my goodness.
But you're here. You made it.
I am. And I remembered to do some shows for this week. Last night, I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to get some shows logged in here. So
there you go. And you did it. That's great. Well, I did get a text message. I guess it was Saturday morning that Gloria Parker, otherwise known as a psychic bartender, made her transition. Was it Saturday?
Yes. It was Saturday morning, apparently. Yeah,
right before the psychic fair, which I think was still going to take place in her honor, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So anything since speak to that because I'm just on the sidelines here.
No, it's you know, she had been progressively getting worse the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a few times when Anna's like, I don't know. She's in that transition stage, but like she hasn't happened yet. And that's always a hard situation to be in. I mean, there's a parallel
mm-hmm.
thing happening with my my 95-year-old Aunt Julie.
Oh wow.
Who is also now in it's not hospice care, but it's continuous care. I don't know if those are the same things. And they're just trying different phrases.
Mm-hmm.
It's continuous care. Excuse me. I think I'll get into that in a little bit. But with Glow, she I know Anna had gone over a few nights this past week just to, you know, to check in on her. She had a lot of people coming in and visiting her, and I think that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I know Anna had mentioned like a lot of the spiritual bigwigs in the Atlanta area came over, and
mm-hmm.
I mean, she's been such a force and a presence for a good 30 years. So
mm-hmm.
you're going to know a few people. And
mm-hmm.
so, but Anna was starting to feel a little run down. You know, she's been in a house full of sick people.
Sure.
Taking care of a lot of sick people. And she's had to rest a little bit. So she didn't go, I think, that Friday night. But she figured she was going to see her at the psychic fair. So she got the call early, like 3 something that morning.
Mm.
She had passed.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in Columbia visiting my Aunt Julie, who is the one in continuous care. I drove out there Friday morning thinking, okay, well, I'll just make it be a day trip. I'll come back Saturday. Because I was also going to take my other aunt to the psychic fair. That's like her usual thing. And it was just raining a whole day.
Mm.
Rain, 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 rain. And driving in that rain isn't easy, especially long distances. And then,
of course.
I met up with my parents and my other aunt, my Aunt Julie's sister, and my cousin, my Aunt Julie's daughter, Gina. And we went over to the... Of course, we meet at my cousin's house, and she has to, like, make sure we have something to eat first. In her nature. Got to eat first. And then we all took one car. I drove everybody over, and we visit my Aunt Julie, who is in. She has all these places. She had been waiting at the hospital for a place to open up for that type of care. And they're all booked.
Wow.
Like, they're all fully booked. So this place, she's sharing a room. There's space for two people in there, but she's sharing a room with somebody else. And it's a little farther away from my cousin's house. So she's still looking for a place that's a little bit closer, but you know, the people here are really nice. So, but that she had just gotten transferred the night before. So she hadn't even been 24 hours in this space. And I don't know if I mentioned this with my aunt, but like about a month ago, she fell. She was alone in the house at the time. She fell, but here I got a little bit more of the story. She fell, and of course, when you fall first, you hit your knee. So she was complaining more about her knee. And my cousin said when she comes home every day, like at lunchtime, and she said that, well, you know, my mom was lying on the couch when I saw her, and that's not like her. Despite being 95 years old, she's usually like walking around or sitting or, you know, coloring. She's not, she's not like resting, lying down, but she was, she said that, you know, her knee hurts. So she was just kind of, you know, rests her leg, and they're like, okay. She's like, okay. But she was a little concerned because of her lying down. And then the next day is when she started complaining about her head hurting, and it came up.
So
she hit her head.
That she fell.
She said, I think she said she fell because, you know, but she said it was her knee, that that was the same thing that was bothering her.
Right. So no one's thinking about this could be the head, and that's
it. And then, so then the next day when she was kind of complaining about her head, and I think it came out. Yeah. And I, and I hit my head. Like, oh my gosh, you know. So I think
and
they took her to the emergency
room.
Yeah. Took her to the emergency room and they noticed there's a little bit of hemorrhaging. They're like, yeah, you need to take her to the hospital. That's where all that came up. So she has like a, you know, a, like basically a blood clot. And because of her age, they decided not to. So she's, you know, when we saw her Friday, I think she was really happy to see everybody. She's regressing into she's back in the Philippines. Back in her hometown, and she's speaking in that native dialect, which my cousin, her daughter, doesn't speak. It's a wild thing, is you can have, you know, parents that speak one dialect, and I saw this when I was in the Philippines, even the time before this last time. As soon as the elders went up and started speaking in their native dialect, a lot of the younger generation just kind of like zoned out because they didn't. Like, we don't know what they're saying. We don't know what they're saying at all.
Sure.
They're not speaking in Tagalog. They're speaking in Ibanag.
Wow.
And I'm like, I didn't realize that they didn't teach that. They taught, they were speaking Tagalog, but they didn't speak their native language, which I'm like, okay. So I don't feel as bad for not learning any of this stuff.
Because it's not their first language. Right. It's
not
their third, fourth
it's
language.
Not.
Yeah. Interesting. Wow.
But, you know, so obviously the thing is, if my aunt is only going to be speaking in Ibanag, unless like her sisters are there or my father's there, no one can help translate what she's asking or what she's saying.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
But, like we were definitely happy to see her. You know, she's just in bed. She really can't move. She can move like the right side of her body a lot easier, but she can't walk now. So she's, why the continuous care, you know? She's eating, you know, pureed food. She had a pretty good appetite when we were there. My mom was starting to feed her. And then like my mom's legs were like, I can't like kind of stay over. We offered to get her a chair. She didn't want the chair. So that's, you know, tracks for my mom. But I think she was also a little overcome to, to see her sister like that. So my other aunt
affects so many things. You know, your own mortality. That's what happens. You know.
Yeah. So my other aunt was took over, and I think it was a better fit because my Aunt Alice can actually hear. She has a problem hearing. because Aunt Julia, when she's talking, it's very soft. And so my mom can't hear her. even if she's right next to her, she can't hear her. So I'm like, it's probably a better thing overall. That way Auntie Alice can say what she's been saying and can answer her back. And it's
yeah,
so there was
a
really good connection there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I brought, you know, I told you I had all these different rocks and stones, like stuff from Australia, but
mm-hmm.
I also have stones from my grandmother's property in the Philippines. And I brought a smaller, smoother one.
Oh, that's
so
beautiful.
Me. And I just put it in her hand. I put it in her left hand. The left side wasn't very strong at all. But for some, you know, I was thinking, oh, it's the receptive side. So I held her hand, held the rock in my hand and held it in her hand.
Oh,
and,
that's beautiful.
I mean, I don't know, you know, after a while I switched it to her right hand and she looked at it and she thought it was like a piece of chocolate because it's that color. And we're like, no,
sure.
Don't eat that because that's you don't want
oh,
that.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, it's like she's like 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And
yep.
I knew that for a while because, you know, she had been asking
mm-hmm.
about so many different people, but she was asking for like her grandmother. She thinks my aunt was saying she thinks she's back in her hometown of Ilagan. And she's asking for her mom, her dad, you know, just a lot of people passed. So I'm like, I feel like she's surrounded in both dimensions by people who love her.
Yes, she is.
And like yesterday was my mom's birthday, so I FaceTimed her, and you know, she was still talking about that visit. She's like, I hope we can see her again soon, if that works out. I said yes, and if this ends up being the last time, I said I feel pretty good about how it turned out, because she was, I don't think she really wanted us to go. But it's time to leave. We had to we didn't have to leave by a certain time, but it was just raining all day. We had to get home, and my dad, especially, I didn't want him driving when it gets too dark, but it was already dark because it was overcast and rainy. So we stayed for probably 3 or 4 hours there. But here's the thing, another bonus, because it was such crazy weather for me, I left my knapsack at her at the facility when I got back to my cousin's house.
Lord.
Went, oh, crap. It's got my license in it.
So just to
get back there took longer, and it's raining cats and dogs, and I'm like, oh man, I sat in the parking lot. I made some calls that I needed to make before the end of the day because it wasn't quite 6 o'clock yet, but so I got that taken care of, and my cousin had told me, she's like, if you need to stay, please come back to the house, because we'd rather you stay at the house and, you know, just wake up tomorrow and head back to Atlanta. So that's 3 hours of driving that you don't need to do in the rain. So I opted to do that, and it was good because my cousin it's really just her and her husband. Her husband has to deal with an elderly father as well, 96, but he's mm-hmm. in Charleston. But he's got two brothers that can share that responsibility with my mm-hmm. cousin. It really is just her. She's got two sons, one that lives in the area, but also has, you know, a family of his own. And I don't know how close he was. I mean, I don't know if it doesn't matter, but she's handling a lot of stuff. And so for us to be there to you know, maybe emotionally help out, it helps to be able to talk about it. But we had a pretty good conversation, you know, that evening before everyone was just wiped out. Like, we got to get to sleep. And it was just good to have that. And I realized with her situation, you know, I'm used to having so many family members around, but sometimes even if they live in the same city, it's harder to get around. And she really doesn't have a lot of other people that can help out mm-hmm. with this. And the helping out is really making that connection with her mother, putting her mind at ease.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we know it's just a matter of time, but that's sort of the mm-hmm. vibe, you know, with, so then, you know, the next morning I'm leaving, I'm driving out, and I get that text from Anna about mm-hmm. Gloria. I'm like, wow, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's bittersweet. And I talked about that, and Amanda, we probably talked about this on air too. I talked about it with my mom, because I can tell my mom, she's like, I can't sleep. I keep thinking about your Auntie Julie. And I'm like, I get it. And I said, but you know, for you to put yourself in a situation where, when there's really nothing you can do, you've done everything you can. But for you to not get any rest, she looked really tired yesterday mm-hmm. for her birthday. Like,
it takes everything out of you. This is
triggering
so many things for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She doesn't like to feel vulnerable. It scares her. Vulnerability scares the shit out of your mother.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Okay, I don't know that, but that's just
that's
what
accurate.
I'm getting.
It's because she doesn't, you know, she's big about, like, I don't want help from anyone. You know, I can do it myself. Like, so you probably could, but that doesn't mean you have to. And then, you know, mm-hmm. you know, it's hard. I mean, it really is hard for her to receive help. That's why getting a wheelchair for her, she hates it, but then she sees the benefit of having it. And she hates it every single time.
Sure.
And I would lose my shit every single time we'd get in, you know, I don't need it. I'm like, you don't know how long it's going to take to get you through this airport. I said, please take a wheelchair. And let's get to the airport. And then you can yell at me later for whatever reason.
You can cut the line. You can get on the plane.
Oh,
It's like, it's a perk.
No, it is. And you know, it's like short-term memory. She doesn't remember. remember how bad it was. And now my dad is like, you know, freaking my dad, he said, oh, I won't take it. I'm like, take it. Both of you take the wheelchair. He says, if you don't take it, I'll take it. I'll take it. I'm tired of having to lug my own stuff around. I'll take it. But I said, you know, and there's a shortage of people who can, you know, of people who can actually help out with these wheelchairs. There's so many people requesting it.
There's
and they don't
so
have enough people.
So many people traveling.
Yeah.
You see them, like, it's insane. I mean, good for people. Like, they're not letting compromised mobility stop them from living their lives and traveling. That's mm-hmm. a beautiful thing. But mm-hmm. It's just a reflection of people living longer and people still want to, you know, travel and do their thing. So
So my mom is you know, I just told her, you know, you have just send prayers. And I know she prays for a lot of people. She tells me that all the time, and I believe her. I wonder if it's like that, you know, that kind of bargaining. If you do this for me, God, I don't know. I have no idea. But But she does keep a lot of people in her thoughts. I mean, that's part of her thing, mm-hmm. to keep a lot of things in her thoughts. Mm-hmm. But I said, you know, I asked her that same question. I said, if it was the last time you saw your sister, you know, how do you feel? Was it good? She's like, yeah, you know, it was sad to see, but it was good. And I told her, I always equate, like, people passing to them being, like, reborn on the other side. Like, kind of like how babies come into the world, everyone's so happy. Feel like on the other side, that's like a death, because they're not going to be there, right? They're not going to be there for a long time, usually. And so I think I kind of told her that, like, you know, on the other side, so many people are waiting for her, and she sees them, and they're happy. Like, that's the homecoming. That's what, you know, a lot of, in some cultures, it's not.
It's a homecoming. That's what they call it. That. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, that word. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so I said, you know, even my Aunt Alice, she had texted in our group text about the interactions, how, you know, her point of view. And she had said something basically like, you know, obviously we're happy to see her. She said something like, my aunt Julia told her, probably in Ibanag, what she said was something she must have been thinking, that we all die when God says it's time to go. And she's like, I think she's ready. So I think mm-hmm. my Aunt Julie, well, we saw it with her husband, almost over 10 years ago, when he mm-hmm. when he was in hospice, and it was, you know, I only saw him that one time, and you know, it was, and I don't think anyone was ready for all of it. So there was a lot of just the feelings in there were tense and so sad, and you know,
mm-hmm.
pleading and bargaining to stay a little bit longer. But you know, it's a shell of a man just staying there, kind of just waiting
yeah,
for
like,
things
I
to calm down.
It was like around Christmas. It was around
yeah.
Christmas or something.
Just
right?
just before
yeah.
Well, just before Thanksgiving, and
right.
And we were hoping he could stay through Christmas. I'm like, no, there's just no reason
no,
for him
and what's
to be
the point, you know?
In this situation for that much longer. Like, you know, say your piece, remind him that you love him, that you're going to be fine. You know, we're going to be fine. It's going to take
mm-hmm.
a little bit of time, but, you know, we'll work through it. And so I think having that experience, as difficult as it was, made this experience a little more manageable because,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's like 10 years later, and here she is at 95, and
mm-hmm.
and she's sort of been, you know, pining after her husband and her son, who's also passed. So she's sort of been visiting.
She's happy.
Yeah.
No, she's happy.
Yeah.
She's running things like I said about Gloria. It's like when you get to that sundowny space. It may not look like it, but they're the boss. They're in charge. They know exactly what's going on. It does not appear like that. But, oh, yeah, she's really empowered right now.
Yeah.
It may not appear that way, but she really is.
Yeah. She didn't want to let go of my hand when we were all saying goodbye. I think I was the last one to say goodbye to her. And she kept, like, pulling my hand back. Like, you know, she had her good hand, her right hand. And she's just looking at me. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. I kissed her on the third eye a few times. Just said, you know, like, we'll see you again. I don't know
what form, but we'll
see you again.
Yeah. No. And also, too, she's connecting to, you know, the light that's within you. You know, you've done to clear things. Light recognizes light. You know, so it's almost like you're a conduit, you know, you don't have all the baggage that everybody else does. Not that she's looking at it that way, but she feels like, you know, I wanted to ask you a question. Where are you and your brother in all of
this? We haven't really chatted. We haven't talked about, no, he hasn't. I think the last time, I mean, he sent like just group chat, you know, texts to,
right,
you know,
but
we have not spoken or texted about anything directly.
Since the tire incident.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean,
okay. I'm not surprised. He's a stubborn
thing. He's definitely, it's a hereditary family.
Yes.
Thing on my mom's side.
He's like your mom. He's like your mom. I don't know this,
yeah.
but I'm just feeling that. Yeah,
no,
like
they have very, very similar tendencies.
Yeah.
And I sort of talked about it with my cousin, and, you know, I said, you know, don't get me wrong. I was tempted to try to smooth things over, but there's a part of me that's like, you know, I didn't do anything wrong, and I don't want to be in the same pattern anymore of being reprimanded for stuff that's not mine.
That's right. That's good for you. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Beautiful. Yes. And why should you put yourself in that vulnerable state? Because he, like your mother, doesn't like to be vulnerable. So why are you, and I'm so proud of you, why are you going to take that on? Because, you know, we're excessively empathetic. So we're learning to like dial that back so that we are being considerate of ourselves and what we need to do is step back. So, I'm proud of you because that's the unconscious impulse is to, you know, long as smooth things over and under. And what we're doing is we are bypassing ourselves. It is
right.
another very insidious, unconscious, very, very, very deep process, ourselves, abandoning ourselves. And when you get to that point where you can distinguish, and it's almost like in the most benign tiny. This is, well, of course you should be the bigger person. I'm like, beep, beep that. No. Be the bigger person. No, be the bigger person means abandoning yourself sometimes. That's, mm-hmm. you know, that's maybe, mm-hmm. that's maybe, you know, be the bigger person, maybe be more the.
Uh-oh.
You don't want to, what, oh. Or
you blinked out for a moment, so I didn't hear you at all. You're like, you admit,
okay.
Admit
or right, or what's really going on, and the most subtle of, you know, it's a whisper. Look at how profound self-neglect, self-abandonment is, and that's why these things happen, and that's why I always say the rejection is a protection. That if, right, that if it's not lined up, instead of us trying to line it up, we're just going to let it be.
Yeah.
If we didn't do anything, if we don't have amends to make. If you have amends to make, that's another story. But if you're just being who you are, coming from the purest of intentions, and somebody else is going to make you wrong for their bullshit,
right.
leave it alone.
Right.
So good for you, because there's nothing to smooth over where it comes to the other people, but to smooth over your soul for yourself, taking care of you, doing what you need to do. You're the one that traveled overseas with your parents. You're the one that your parents prefer to stay at your place than at the mansion that they have up the hill. You're the one, because it's the vibe. It's the light recognizes light. You know, where you're so humbled that you're on your knees, so to speak, understanding the grace of not abandoning yourself anymore. People are so terrified of, you know, of understanding the harmony that you can have when you can really be clear and to understand. Why am I so addicted to this ego? Everything's addiction. Mm-hmm. We are even addicted to abandoning ourselves. So good for you. That's why they call it rehab, because you're rehabilitating patterns that no longer serve you. Like, I'm going to go smooth things over. And one of our, you know, best classrooms for that is family dynamics. So you have thousands of people in your family. I only have two. I consider my family my sons. But it doesn't matter. It's not about the quantity. It's about the opportunities. And when you can see that grace and that divine intelligence and knowing, okay, I don't have to participate in activities of others, nor do I have to pander to my ego. I am going to be in alignment with the contrast and with my ego, because those are my greatest teachers.
Mm.
And there is no issue with anybody, because this is how your divine intelligence becomes more educated. So good for you.
Thank you. I think like my mom was asking me if I'd already gone to see Alvin to give Isabel and them. Like, we have some little things, like we really had to just pick up something for Isabel. And,
oh, from your trip, yeah.
In the Philippines, so I mean, I'm hoping it fits her. We don't know. And then we were trying to find stuff in Australia, and I'm like, we can make t-shirts. It's not that big of a deal. And we just needed something small. But the last,
right.
This is the same thing. Like, the last time I was there, we were in the airport, and they have those Tim Tam cookies, mm-hmm. or Tim Tams. I don't know. But, they usually have a big sale at the airport. You think, okay, well, I can just take a bunch of these. I'll just take, you know, I'll get four for $20, you know, Australian dollars, you know,
right.
Whatever. That's good. And, So I gave I gave one to Anna and Amy when they were going down to Florida. I said, I don't know if they'll like them. You know, it's just like an Australian thing. It's almost like, it's either that or Vegemite. Like, I'm thinking they're going to want the Tim Tams, you know,
I don't get the Vegemite thing at all. Don't get it.
Have you ever had it?
Yes.
Okay. I liked it. I didn't mind it.
Yeah, I knew you liked it. I just felt that you liked it, see?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, yeah.
An acquired taste.
That was, it's just really, I guess, really salty, so you don't want to put a lot on your piece of bread or a cracker or whatever, but you have to put some butter in there too. So I'm like, no, this is fine. I had that with my coffee back in the day. I'm like, yeah, this is fine. So like Anna's birthday is Saturday. Isabel's birthday is Sunday. So, you know, I'm not going to assume anything, but if I don't hear anything, if they're not having people over or whatever, then I will just mention, like, hey, you know, I do have some gifts for you and for Isabel, some little things from our trip. So, you know, let me know when you're available. Because, we'd like to give it to them.
Yeah, we'd like to stop by, you know.
Yeah. So, I don't know if my parents would try to come up if there is something happening for Isabel's birthday, I'm sure they'd make the effort to drive over and spend some time. We all really wanted to see them. Well, I wanted to see her.
Right.
We got back, but we were just too much of a mess.
Lots of things are going on. People are getting ready to petition. People were sick. You just got back.
Yeah.
You know,
and the main thing was, like, we were all still a little, you know, traveling, a little under the weather. So let's.
Sure.
I mean, and the interesting thing, this is all with the wording. This is all through our group text. But, you know, when my dad had mentioned, we got back, you know, last night, we'd love to see you all. My dad said, we'd love to see Isabel before we leave, you know. And my brother was like, if you and mom want to come and see her. If you and mom want to see her, you know, she'll be done with school by whatever time. And I saw that. This is all literally like the next day after we got back. And my dad is like, so do we want to go over?
He's a grudge holder, that one.
Oh, yeah. And I said, yeah. You and mom should be able to go. He's like, well, you don't want to drive us? I said, sure, and I'll just wait in the park. I'll just wait in the driveway. That's fine. No problem, Dad. You know, I said, I said, you and mom were invited to go.
Right.
I said, I'm happy to drive.
Very passive aggressive.
Oh yeah, that's how he was. That's how he is. That's how he's always been.
Oh my gosh. Yep.
So I'm like, all right. Well, no, I'll be happy. I'll drop you off. You can spend time. You know, at this rate, I'm really tired. I have no problem sleeping in the car because I've done it before.
Yep.
I said, I'll wait if she happens to come out and I see her. I mean, it was just like these things. I'm just like, it's stupid.
Oh,
but
it's
ridiculous.
It's so stupid.
That's how it was worded. And my dad was just like, it's like, all right, well. He's like, well, honestly, we're all still a little on the, coughing, a little under the weather side. I'm like, it's up to you, Dad, But so he made the decision to, like, well, maybe we'll come back another time because we're still feeling a little sick. And so my brother's like, that's probably a good idea. It's like, welcome back. So I'm like, it's just not necessary, It is. That's just if you and mom want it. Like, okay.
It's very immature. I feel bad for his wife.
Yeah.
I feel bad for her because what goes on behind closed doors, I'm sorry. I happen to co-host a podcast, so I feel things.
Well, and an interesting thing is I think her family dynamics, like where it's my mom, it's her dad. So she's sort of familiar with that sort of, where one parent is.
Well, sometimes you marry your father,
A little more difficult. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And since my brother is my mother, you know, there you go.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I will see. I mean, when he so graciously let us see her before we left on the trip.
Right.
Isabel just basically hung out with me. She, like, literally hung on to me the entire time.
Yeah,
like,
and
we
you know what? And right. And she misses you.
Yeah. And I miss her. Yeah.
So it's like you're being weaponized. You know what I mean? It's like grow
yeah.
the hell up.
Yeah. Well, so.
Life's too short for that nonsense. But you know what? Good luck.
For real. That's so true. You know.
And he doesn't have a spiritual bone in his body. He thinks, you know, he's very judgmental. He judges the hell out of you. Again, I don't know this, but I'm feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of bravado, but yeah, he's very insecure. So this is all a mask. I don't buy it. Very insecure.
Yeah. I all of it just, I'm like, this is so much more difficult than it needs to be.
Yep.
So
it's very manipulative. It's very deliberate. It's so that it's a false sense of self, you know, he's narcissistic adjacent. So good luck. Mm. To him, not
so,
you.
So, yeah. So I will at some point mention little things for Isabel. And we'll just see where it happens. Because if she doesn't get
That's
it then she'll get it some other time. Maybe one day she'll get it. But,
yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to stir up anything.
Nope.
But I'm also trying to keep my own boundaries set.
Yeah.
So
keep your boundaries because he's the one that's setting up all the firewalls.
Oh, yeah.
This is on him.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Well, I mean, you know, it took the last time he held a grudge, it took him dating his now wife and wanting her to meet his family. And since parents are in a different state and brother number one is estranged, you know, all
right.
he had left is me. And I live in the
right.
same city. So
right.
he is the one who's like, let's let bygones be bygones. I really want you to meet, my girlfriend
and her
parents, because her parents had moved. That's right. So he needed somebody representing.
You were part of the sales presentation. You were part of marketing.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I hit it off with his.
Of course you did.
His now mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, well, I'm like. I was just okay.
Yeah, you
think
you're good.
Of course. Of course.
You're good. You're a fabulous ambassador. How could you, like, you know, your parents dream. Like, oh, yeah, let's adopt her. You know?
But, you know, I mean, so I get that that's how he rolls. I'm like, you know, at this point, there are certain things
back.
I will not put up with to be able
no,
to see
good.
My niece.
No, because that's on him, and he's the one that's making his daughter suffer. So I feel the opportunity will present itself in one shape or form or another, because her birthday is this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody's going to hear something. That will be the opening, and then you can respond with, I wouldn't even reach out. Unless you don't hear anything and it's the birthday, and then you use the opportunity of what she's birthday here to. I wouldn't do anything. I would like make him sweat a little bit, you know, because everybody's sort of waiting. Like, aren't you doing anything? But she turning 4.
Yeah. She turns 4.
Yeah, it's her 4th birthday. Yeah. So let them reach out with some sort of whatever.
Yeah.
And
okay.
If you don't hear anything, then on the birthday, you wish her a happy birthday. Please wish Isabel a happy birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Have some things from the trip for her. Let us know when it's a good time. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd wait for now.
It's probably a smart idea, honestly. I mean, and it's like, you know, just that feeling of exhaustion from having to do so,
draining.
You know, just everything. It's like, okay, well, you know, and it's not like I don't love any of them, because I do.
Well, oh, you love them, but you know what? Guess what? You're loving yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You love them, but you like yourself better. That's what it is. Yeah. Boundaries. You know? And the thing is, too, with everything that's been going on energetically, it's really about breakthroughs. I said this, I think, on a show with Anna when you were gone, that breakthroughs are the source material that creates and establishes boundaries. So you had a lot of breakthroughs recently, going to the motherland, dealing with your parents, healing a lot of these physical symptoms that you had that are in much better shape than they were before, having a depth, a clarity, compassion for yourself, for those around you, but really for yourself. These breakthroughs create the boundaries that you are not going to compromise on.
Right.
That's it. So this is why we're not mad at anybody. We have no issue with anybody, with anything. There's no malice. There's no anger. But there's the wisdom of having gone through the contrast. So when we become partners with the contrast and that we respond to alignment and we step back when things aren't aligned, that's how we navigate the minefield that is life as we know it, because it's insane. You know, especially, we're not going to get into politics or world events, but it's insane. So how else can we navigate the minefield that is life as we know it, externally and internally? It's crazy.
Yeah.
So the default setting is to find what makes life beautiful, because that's all we can hold on to. Why would I waste energy being mad at people when everybody's killing themselves and you walk outside?
Yeah. And I think seeing, especially seeing on this trip with my mom, seeing her reunite with, you know, with nieces and nephews that she hasn't seen since they were kids. And, and seeing the response that she's getting, I know.
The joy.
They just miss her. And they've lived the whole time in between then, you know, and mom sort of
beautiful.
You know, so, you know, I'm hoping, and even with what others that she thinks maybe, I heard some things and I don't know, or they responded this to me back in the day and I just cut them off because I didn't like it. Like, well, you're going to have a chance to see them now. You know, there's a chance to see that. And it worked out. Like, I'm like, you just have to let some of that go. Like, if it's a misunderstanding, it's a misunderstanding, but wow, to hold that grudge for however many years and to block that energy flow from someone who just obviously adores you and you haven't, you know, given that person a chance to for you to even see how that person really is. You know, just because it's not the way you would do things doesn't mean it's a wrong way. It just means it's a different way.
Right.
So I think that's been smoothed over, just, you know, by the whole situation. Because, you know, in the beginning, I'm like, well, Mom, you know, who are you actually talking to in this family of yours? Because, you know, they're all going to know you're here. And if you're making an effort to see one of them and he's related to a bunch of them, then, like, who are we talking to? Who are you okay with? And it's like, how are you going to be? And I just think, she was, because she was so well received, that made it easier for her. But, Mom, it's like, these are relationships you could have had all this time.
Yep.
If you'd been willing to nurture it and put aside, you know, not even to put aside, but, you know, ask your questions, like, be vulnerable, find out what was going on, and be able to receive whatever's being told to you. And if you don't believe it, then that's, you know, that's another layer we got to deal with. But you know, you didn't have to be cut off, self-imposed, you know, from all these people. Part of it's the technology, because she's just not used to it. But, you know, I'm like, you're able to do things And, you know, you have to depend on dad because dad knows how to do these things. And he does it. He keeps an eye out for you. He keeps an eye out on your Facebook page to see who's been, you know, wanting to get in touch with you. Right. He's trying to help things out there too. So
right.
It's a matter of you opening up and just taking the next step. But sometimes you get in your head that, no, they did me wrong. And I'm still mad. Good God, let
it
go.
No, it's just the resistance. It's fear. No, it's your brother, too. It's this fear of vulnerability because they equate that with weakness and they don't understand. That's the dense part of it. But you move through it. That's the grace of strength. Vulnerability is beautiful. It shows strength. It's courage. It's your own. Nobody else can express it in the same way that you can, you know. Mm-hmm. But when you're dealing with fear and resistance, it's limited. It's toxic. Yeah. It's common. It's baseline. That's why the world is insane right now, because it's just at its lowest base vibration.
Right.
You know, and if you could just let go of that, and this is why when people are, you know, are making that transition, you know, I'm sure that when Gloria, who's always been sort of described as like this, and I met her, so I know she's a battle axe, a tough cookie. I'm sure there was such tenderness and grace when she let that matter, because that's just a persona. That's just to protect somebody, you know. And look, I get it. She lost her daughter to suicide. That's an unfathomable, you know, loss.
Right.
So you're going to have your armor on, you know. And that takes so much energy, and that's exhausting to wear a mask. Your mother wears a mask. Your brother wears a mask. We are all wearing masks, but sometimes our mask can be beautiful and made out of the lightest of materials where, you know, it's a beautiful masquerade. You still know that it's you, but you're protecting yourself from whatever, or it's part of your outfit, or you're just contained. And it's, you know, made out of cement. And it's uncomfortable, you know. So we're all going to wear a mask. You know, that's even sometimes with ourselves. We're going to have some sort of mask, some sort of protection. I get that as we're trying to work through our stuff. But it's the resist we're made out of. You know, you have a mask that's like a veil, a beautiful veil. You could see through it. You know, I'm working on my veil. Maybe it's not quite, you know, translucent, but I'm working on it. Right? As opposed to wearing one that's made out of lead.
Right.
And there's just two little holes, you know, for the eyes, and that's it. You can't even move. You're trapped in your own sort of cocoon made out of lead. So it's very interesting. But the fear of vulnerability, that resistance always wins, you know, and the resistance there, it's purposely there to show us, oh, this is uncomfortable. How do I yield and maybe pivot or try something else or walk away, you know? So, I mean, I could use the example of you're trying to open up a jar. Sometimes I have very weak, I have very tiny little wrists. I have small little baby hands. I'm weird. So sometimes it's hard for me. No, and I'm like, I need a man. No, and I'm like, no, I don't. I'm like, no, I don't. No, I don't, because that should get me into trouble. Hello. But anyway, and I can try different things, like, you know, try to use that hook thing on the can opener, try to use, you know, heat, whatever. And I'm like, well, I'm going to find something else to use for, you know, this ingredient or whatever. I'll walk away. And then when one of my sons come home, I'm like, open this for me. But I will pivot. I will pivot. I no longer am struggling. If I'm trying to send an email and the Wi-Fi is down or whatever, I'll send the email from my phone and I'll use the data, whatever it is. Or I'm like, you know what? I can wait and revisit that later. I am now just aligning with what is the path of least resistance. Now I'm getting that, because that's a thing that we've been hearing about for decades. The path of, you know, least resistance. Oh, it's a concept. It's a title. It's an approach, but it hasn't really been tangibly and viscerally incorporated. That's the thing to think about now. I think that's what you're discovering as I'm discovering it.
Yeah.
So we're not going to go into our heads. We're not going to try to smooth things over or to fix things. But when we see the opportunity and things aren't in resistance, that they're not in contrast, then we can make our approach. Otherwise, it's more productive just to take a few cleansing breaths and do something else.
Yeah, agreed.
That's it. And we're really understanding how we're navigating. I think it's time for a message, so I'm going to pull it up.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you when it's loaded. Okay, I am ready when you are. Okay. Okay, the number associated with this message is 923. Oh, my God, this is so freaking perfect. Wow. And so aligned when I was talking about, like, finding how life can be beautiful because the outside world is just almost too much to bear. That's what this speaks on. Okay, the number is 923. Here's the message. As the outbreak and outcry of events of the external world are disturbing, the opportunity to claim light, peace, and love arises to the self and others. What was I just saying? I know you want it. that's it. I know you want it. Hello? Did you miss me? Okay. That's it. That's it. In a nutshell, what we were just talking about, I'll read it again. As the outbreak and outcry of events of the external world are disturbing, the opportunity to claim light, peace, and love arises to the self and others. And isn't that interesting that the word self came up first?
Yeah.
It wasn't others and self. It was self and others. 923. I'm going to send this to you.
Thank you. Well,
yeah.
This number sequence is also perfect. The nine is that bigger source and the bigger viewpoint of how things are in the world, and it's also about letting go, right? With nine, we have a lot of things that are coming to completion, and also things that are falling apart because you got to make room for things that have already been completed. Then you got to make room. It's time to move on. And the struggle
right.
is usually with letting go. The struggle is usually with having to deal with that major transformational change that's going to be happening anyway as things come to
right.
completion. Like, you know, you don't just come to completion and stay put. You still then you move on to the next level. You transform. And then the number two in the middle, connecting these is about, I wouldn't say balance necessarily, but a receptivity to that. So it's another way of receiving that information, receiving the situation and receiving what's happening within you so that you can integrate that. And then when the three comes in, this is about now expression, communication, sharing to others after you've already done this work within yourself to make, then to kind of facilitate even more change, but now more on a smaller level. The overall number here is a five. So have these big, we have changes that are happening regardless. It's always going to be happening. But when things rock your world because it's a big event, or maybe it's just something that's felt and experienced on a bigger level, global level, like this message is talking about, and how that affects us individually, stuff rises to the surface, and sometimes it transforms within us the best that's been hidden underneath. Well, things
right.
are just ready to come back up now, and you're ready to deal with it, and you're not doing it
right.
alone. But the inner work may feel very lonely. It's just you're not aware of anybody else's stuff because you're so focused on your own self. But then when you do emerge from it, your experiences that you now want to share, if you're vulnerable enough to share, then you start connecting with other people who have had similar experiences. That's when you start feeling like, oh, it's not just me. Thank goodness. It's not just me. And now you have the support to help you facilitate like the rest of that change. It's
right.
It's a beautiful process. And I think if we thought about it too much, nothing would be happening. Like we just keep things, everything's the same. Because right now I feel like
that's right. You know? Right. And good for you just saying that, because it's almost like the mind thought, well, the goal is to keep everything the same. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. But look at what you just said. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Because now you're seeing the freedom and the understanding that it's supposed to change. So when somebody comes at you from left, like, oh my God, you changed. I'm like, yeah, you haven't. Hello. Bye. Right.
Why, thank you. Yeah,
right.
Thank you.
Yeah, like that's like that. Like that's like the, you know, like that's a criticism. That's a compliment, actually. You know, yeah, we're constantly changing. We're supposed to.
Right.
We're supposed to embrace that instead of resist it. You know? But this message really, really reflects on the insanity of what's going on. And the only way to cope with it is just to recognize, doesn't mean deny what's going on in the world because it's insane, but just to recognize those sweet spots of where you can acknowledge and articulate, whether it's energetically, whether it's just some sort of acknowledgement, where the backdrop is that life is indeed beautiful. Underneath it all, canvas of life is beautiful. That's the challenge, but that's the goal. That's what I aspire to. You know, somebody asked me a question yesterday about, so what are your ambitions? And I'm like, I don't even think of myself as an ambitious person. I'm a passionate person. I'm an active person. I always have stuff going on. But my ambition is not to be ambitious. I guess. It's just to, you know, my ambition is not to be a burden to my children.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. I don't know. But it's not like, oh, I have to accomplish, you know, this, or I need to be famous or anything. No, I've accomplished quite a bit of my life. I'm good. My kids are proud of me. That's enough. That's it. Very interesting. But before we go, I wanted to tell you, Amazon should be delivering part of Anna's birthday present.
Ooh.
So, yeah. And there should be a message that I requested that explains her whole present. So this is sort of like a stocking stuffer, and then the message with the stocking stuffer should say what the whole – I mean, she already knows what it is, but this is now making it official. But she doesn't know about the stocking stuffer, so I'm just letting you know because you live in the same house. That,
is it addressed to Anna or is it addressed to me?
Yes, it's addressed to Anna.
Okay, good. Okay, she'll get it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, if it comes to whatever, you can, you know, if you remember, you don't have to, but if you remember, you know, you can send me a text.
Okay.
But, yes, but it should be arriving today, FYI. Via Amazon. Yes.
Awesome.
So that's all I'll say about that. So, on that note, happy Tuesday, everybody. Let's not resist. And let's just acknowledge where life is beautiful, even if it's the simplest thing, even if it's a sip of tea or coffee that you're having, mm-hmm. or the show you're watching, or the phone call, or the text message that made you laugh, or whatever. This is the fuel to get through the madness. What else can we do?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's why we do this show!
exactly.
No, I mean, seriously, that's why we do this freaking show. Hello. So, if any of you guys need to get a hold of us, please send an email to loablend@gmail.com. And we're scheduled to be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Please take tender care of yourself and each other.
And as always, let the light do the work and to brighter days ahead. Love you.
Love
Bye.
You.
Bye.